5 years ago, 2019, just before the pandemic, I'm living in Singapore. I go to the Singapore Expo to do recon at a Tony Robbins seminar. I wanted to find out how he ran things. I thought I might be able to learn something from him. He had turned what I wanted to do into a business, helping people find purpose, meaning, direction. In my own small way, I was doing something similar in courses at a business school. But what happens in a business school and what happens at a Tony Robbins seminar are not the same. The standards are different. The epistemological expectations are different. The format, the sound, the other people are different. And I went with skepticism, even cynicism, that the epistemological standards at Tony Robbins' seminar are lacking, weak, deficient. There's a lot of bullshit, I presumed. What basis does he have for making those claims? This is how I've been programmed by my training to think about things. So one develops a skepticism, and often it's difficult to overcome that. But nonetheless, I went to see, is there something here that I can use, something that's useful for me, given my vague purpose that I had at the time? I walk into the Singapore Expo, and there's pop music playing. And people are jumping up and down, high-fiving each other. And I'm not a high-five kind of cat. So I pause as I'm entering, questioning whether or not I should enter. Is this actually going to be valuable? Because this is so divergent from what I want to do. The standards, the aesthetics, everything about it are so different from what I want to do. Can I actually learn something here? Can I benefit? Call my wife, explain to her the high five situation. She said, do whatever you want. But I was there, it seemed foolish to recourse. So I went in, found my seat. I'd paid the extra $200-$300 to be closer to the front. And I have skepticism, which manifests itself as a certain set of expectations that there's not going to be a lot of value in this. And that sort of creates that future if it's not bridled. If the skepticism isn't bridled, it can create the experience of this being vacuous, epistemologically suspect, whatever bullshit way I characterized it. In my own little smug little world that I inhabited because of my training and my disposition and my feelings of inadequacy and all the other things that drive these views that we have of the world. And this is a 3-day event. Late in the first day, we do an exercise where we first identify limiting beliefs that we might have. In my characterization of it, we were supposed to hypothesize or conjecture some beliefs that we might have that might be limiting us. And I came up with two. One is, I am just an academic. I did some psychology PhD, some postdocs, became mostly by luck a professor at INSEAD, where I was for 15 years. And I thought, this is all I've done my whole life. What am I but an academic? But I wrote that down as a candidate for a limiting belief because it, although it seemed true from my perspective, it felt wrong in some way that actually I'm not meant to do this. This was good training, but this was training for something else. So I wrote that down. I'm just an academic is a limiting belief. The second was I'm not an entrepreneur. I knew entrepreneurs. I was in a business school. I was around them all the time. And I thought, I am not that. But I wrote it down because I suspected that that might be bullshit. And once we had our limiting beliefs written down, we then mentally simulated two possible futures for ourselves. You can think of these as realizations of sort of random outcomes, but that are more or less steered by how one is, what one believes specifically. And in the first counterfactual universe, we were asked to imagine living in accord with those limiting beliefs, that is, not changing them, to see ourselves 5 years, the music is throbbing, the lights are low, we're going through this guided meditation, this visualization of thinking about what our life will look like 5 years from now if we don't change what we just wrote down in our notebooks. And then we're asked to think about what our lives will look like at 10 years, at 20 years. And 20 years into the future, where I would be 65 years old, I saw a version of myself looking back at me in a mirror. I was in what felt like some ratty hotel in San Francisco with chip, semi-gloss, paint, smoke-stained paint on the walls behind me. And I look in the mirror and I see myself, but it's not myself. It's actually a colleague. And I realize if I stay on this path, I will become some form of that. And in this particular realization of that random path, I didn't like what I saw myself potentially becoming. It didn't feel right for me. And then we were asked to do the same thing again, but this time imagining that we broke those beliefs, those limiting beliefs, in half. That we believed otherwise. That I am not just an academic. I am an entrepreneur. Is the belief set that I was supposed to operate by in the second simulation. Let's look at what that life will look like 5 years ahead, 10 years ahead. And at 20 years ahead, I saw myself sitting with my wife at a long wooden table next to some sliding glass doors. And outside, the grass is green and the birds were chirping, and it was beautiful. And I was not the man who was looking back at me, the man who had felt somewhat disappointed, I think, when he looked back in the first simulation. I wasn't him, but I was a very different person. I was the same person, but I was a person who'd gone down a different path. He didn't just stay where he was, which he had ended up at according to chance. And which didn't feel right. Although it was wonderful, it didn't feel right. And I don't know what he did to get there 20 years into the future. But right now, I'm 5 years down that path because I left the job. I'm 5 years into the path. And I can't bullshit you and say what I remembered in that guided meditation about what 5 years look like. I only remember what 20 years look like. But if 5 years, if it looked reasonably like what this looks like right now, then I'm optimistic about meeting that guy at the end of the 20-year path, then maybe I'll have an opportunity to sit at that table next to those sliding glass doors with my wife. Oh no, it's uncertain. But with probability one, I wouldn't have done that if I had stayed on the path that I was on, because in this second simulation, I had not done that. I left the event and I wasn't a skeptic. I left the event having learned something. I don't know how I'm yet going to use what I learned, but I did learn something. But more important, had I not gone there, which happened more or less by chance, I decided to go, but there was randomness that led to that decision, which I can't recall. Random exposure to something planted that seed to do that. If I hadn't gone there, I wouldn't be here. Would I still be on that previous path? I don't know, but probably. And for me, that's a little bit spooky, how life in its course, and this is all incredibly obvious, but still, nonetheless, it's worth reminding ourselves of it, that very small chance events have this exponential impact and how those random paths and those two different counterfactual universes and any two counterfactual universes diverge. We can limit the variance, perhaps, of the distribution of outcomes for ourselves at some point into the future, 5 years, 10 years, 20, pick a number. And probably the best way to minimize the variance is by just doing what we're doing. And that's okay as long as what we're doing feels like the right thing. If it's not, then I don't know why we're trying to minimize the variance of the outcomes necessarily. It's much more interesting not knowing where it's going. Much more interesting.